I'm here. Can you hear me?
There he is. All right, we're all set. Jim, take it away.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Sorry I can't join you. I'd love to be there in person, but of course, weather like everything else is impacting all of us. So thanks. My name is Jim Dawkins, Executive Vice President and Chief Operations Officer at Savannah River Nuclear Solutions. As the moderator of today's panel, where mission meets execution, it's a distinct pleasure to be able to interact with this group of distinguished professionals. As many in the room are keenly aware, the NNSA is shifting to a production-centric model to modernize the U.S. nuclear arsenal and ensure deterrence against rising threats from peer competitors. This marks the busiest and most critical time in nuclear security history since the Manhattan Project. To complete warhead modernization programs on time and within budget, and to meet the urgency of today's challenges, requires a culture that embraces calculated risk acceptance rather than risk avoidance. At the intersection of program delivery and operational oversight, NNSA field office managers play a critical role in translating mission priorities into action. In this discussion, senior leaders from across the enterprise will highlight initiatives underway at your sites, including improvements in conducting operations, contracting, and community engagement, and share lessons learned that continue to guide effective mission execution. Please join me in welcoming our panel, Ms. Betty Huck, Manager, Nevada Field Office, Mr. Michael Nicolanis, Manager, Savannah River Field Office, Ms. Shakita Robinson, Acting Manager, Kansas City Field Office, and Mr. Ted Wybeck, Manager, Los Alamos Field Office. So we'll start with our first question. What I'd like the panelists to do is we'll start with Ms. Huck, and then we'll just move right on down the line, and then we'll go to our second question and after that. So I'd ask you to please discuss examples on how your sites are demonstrating a sense of urgency and eliminating barriers that allow for increased mission accomplishment and faster infrastructure modernization, and what techniques have you found to be the most effective in breaking down those institutional barriers.
Thank you. So I get to start first. I'll try not to be too long-winded so everybody else has a chance to say something. But one of the things that we do as a field office manager is that we accept risk for the department in the areas of safety and security. So one of the things that we've done in Nevada is to look hard at the requirements and leverage what the department already allows us to do relative to risk acceptance when it comes to equivalencies or exemptions for compliance-related requirements, finding an alternate means to meet adequate safety and security where appropriate. We have several examples of where we've done this, you know, in the past and certainly more recently in Nevada. One example would be there are requirements for fire extinguishing systems for facilities, and particularly when there's a certain amount of money associated with equipment in there, or the various aspects of the facility construction for a nuclear facility. But if you have a facility underground, a fire extinguishing system can cause as many hazards as it does benefits. And so looking at alternate means to provide worker protection was something that we embraced with the department and support from NNSA leadership to be able to accomplish. Another area is looking at security infrastructure and how we might do compliance-related requirements differently. So for example, everybody's familiar with what our security fence lines look like, et cetera. You got two fences, you got a bunch of equipment, et cetera. Well, can we accomplish physical protection in a different manner that still provides adequate security? And the answer is yes. And so we're embracing that with the support of Defense Nuclear Security Organization in Nevada as well. On the modernization front, we've adopted multiple initiatives to be able to expedite our ability to modernize, not just relative to the new test beds that we're developing, but all of the supporting infrastructure that's required to make it possible for those test beds to operate and, quite frankly, attractive for people to want to actually come and work in those test beds, where they're not necessarily, they're in now new modern facilities versus, you know, trailers and outhouses. And so how do we do that? Looking at subcontracting and how you maximize that, looking at bundling contracts so it's more attractive to get bids so that we can then be able to award very quickly the next building or the next infrastructure that's required.
relative to how, what techniques, so it's very simple. It's communication. It's communication and engaging the right stakeholders. So there's a lot that, you know, we can do within the field office, but fundamentally, risk acceptance is dependent on what the program needs, is dependent on the requirements and getting the functional offices engaged. It's working collaboratively with our contractor organizations. And in Nevada, that's not just the NNSS MNO, that's the nuclear weapons lab. So making sure that the test beds we're delivering and is going to be able to fill the needs that they need from an R&D perspective. And so for me, I think the best thing that I took away from some of our most recent examples is making we have the right stakeholders engaged and the right stakeholders at the right level. So making sure that those people who are in risk decision-making positions or are needed to concur or be engaged in them are in those discussions early and often, and that there is a leadership emphasis to get to a solution. I would also say that it's very important to recognize that risk acceptance does not equal risk mitigation in all cases. The work we do is risky, and making sure everybody understands what can and cannot be mitigated, and therefore the risk we're actually accepting, is extremely important.
Betty, thank you very much. It's a great perspective on what is our largest site out there in the NSA, and like communication, getting it all the way down from the top to the middle, down to the person with handling glove box or digging out a tunnel. That's just so important. And of course, that the risk is the way you described that is fantastic as well. Over to you, Mr. McLanes, please.
Thank you. I think I'd like to begin by sharing a couple examples. If you're in the morning sessions, you might have heard a couple of these. But when we're hitting with a sense of urgency and delivering, we'll be able to accomplish some of the things that were discussed in an earlier session. The Savannah River site, the tritium facility, we broke records. The most number of tritium extractions in a 9-month period that set a facility record at the same time that we were doing a significant year-long modernization within the tritium production facility itself. On SRPPF, the nuclear production facility, we issued the preliminary documented safety analysis after 60% design, but well in advance of 90% design, something that's very innovative and different. So each one of us, I think, on this panel could give you a number of examples of how urgency and innovation, they're usually going to be site-specific, organization-specific, except for those areas where we need help from headquarters to go change policy or to revise those things. But the thing I wanted to talk about, how we address the barriers, is building on something J.D. Dell said in an earlier panel today, which is the culture. If we're going to increase the speed of change and delivering a mission, it's going to take an increase in the speed of decision making, and it's going to take an increase in the level of collaboration that we have within my corporate partners organization, within the federal organization, and across the boundaries between the two of them. And in my field office, that began with establishing a new paradigm last year, where if proximity matters, the field office's value proposition to the NSA mission is the fact that we're closest to our corporate partners who are delivering the mission. And yes, we're here to oversee the contract and to make sure that the requirements are met. But the most value-added thing that we do is to enable our corporate partners to be successful, to find the barriers, find the things that get in the way, and work with them to drive the yes. There's no value proposition to putting the no in innovation. So when you put that expectation into the staff, you push it down within your organization, we share it with our corporate partners so that they understand what they are. Heck, I've even met with Jeff Griffin's team and different organizations so that they actually see there's some belief and passion behind it. Now the expectation is when a new innovation comes up or a new idea, the staff is working this in hours and days. It's not weeks and months of discussing a new innovation and wringing your hands. If the MNO and the federal organization can't get on the same page, they can elevate it rapidly now to the risk accepting officials of the contractor and the federal organization to quickly put the change up on our level. And if we need headquarters help getting it, we do that. And when you take that kind of collaboration, that kind of understanding and a paradigm of quick and speedy decision making, you can also extend that between sites and between organizations like Mary Ellen's Y-12's commissioning summit last week, and some of the partnering going on between Ted's field office and the site to season and train some of our operators in advance of the pit mission.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to provide examples of how Kansas City National Security Campus is leaning forward to address and respond to the increased workload as well as to modernize infrastructure. And I'll also talk about some fundamental things that we are doing to break down institutional barriers. I'll start with how we are supporting the nuclear weapons stockpile. So earlier you heard Mr. John Evans mention that we were able to deliver early for the B-61-13. We have been able to do that because fundamentally for over 75 years, Kansas City has been responsible for 80% of the components that go into the stockpile. Production is what we do, and we have leaned forward in delivering on time to our customer requirements for decades. Some of the fundamental aspects of what we have in our business are some of the things that you heard Mr. Reinhart just mention, digital transformation. We are using smart factory integration to ensure that we understand the state of health of our equipment in the factory, as well as the state of health of operations in our department areas so that we can respond proactively and be predictive in our response and our deliveries as well. We are also looking a lot at data analytics for our suppliers. You also heard someone mention earlier about predictive supply chain management and investing in supply chain strategically. We're doing a lot of that at KCNSC as well. And also we are delivering additive manufacturing rapid iteration solutions for our partners at the design agencies to make sure that we can respond quickly and look at ways to lean out our processes. But the underpinning of everything that we do as a production agency at KCNSC are our people. And as we just heard from Mr. Michelinas, our people are driven by a culture of continuous improvement. We are always looking at ways to streamline processes. We are collaborative in our workspaces, working across the board with our design agency partners. We're not competing, we're collaborative in making sure that we deliver on the mission. And we're always being innovative in what we do. The second example I would like to provide is a great example on how we're modernizing the infrastructure, and that is through our Kansas City Non-Nuclear Expansion Transformation Project. We are elated about this project and how quickly we have been able to deliver against our acquisition needs for our enterprise. For example, our KC Next project is delivering incremental capacity and capabilities to our enterprise, enabling us to meet our requirements mid-2030s and beyond. We are able to do that through a novel approach to real estate acquisition, which ensures that our developer will construct and build and finance our facilities for us, and in turn, we will certify those facilities and purchase those under an agreed to purchase and acquisition agreement. That has proved to be much faster than our traditional acquisition strategy that we have in place at NNSA. For example, you heard about the 413 strategy earlier. This is a unique, novel approach that is already delivering incremental value to NNSA. For example, we just started in 2024 phase one of this project, and we are due to complete construction in June of 2026. We're already training ahead of that, potentially May of 2026 to deliver, and we've already commenced construction for our phase two of that project. So we're very excited about that. And then the last example I provide is around institutional barriers and how we're breaking down those institutional barriers. At KCNSC, we have what we call a Kansas City operating model, and that is how we address prime contracting and requirements that we levy on our management and operating partner, Honeywell Federal Manufacturing Technologies. We are able to leverage the best-in-class commercial practices before we allow additional requirements to go into the contract. So that means we can capitalize off of the private sector's experience and deliver assets as well as acquisition of property faster for NNSA. So those are some of the key things that we have in place, looking forward, developing new solutions, being creative, being collaborative, but also making sure we manage the contract appropriately.
All right, well, thanks, Shakina. Well, first of all, special thanks to the Nuclear Deterrence Summit for actually having a field office manager panel. This is really good. Urgency in eliminating barriers are particularly critical at Los Alamos in areas of mission work as well as infrastructure modernization. Now, this is the only place in the country where we do this pit production work. The demand signals are high, and they're only going to get higher. At Los Alamos, we are aggressively accelerating facility modernization, production efforts, and scientific achievements underpinning the deterrent. Now, eliminating barriers takes a real and genuine partnership and collaboration between the federal team and the MNO, and we have that at Los Alamos. We have several examples of streamlining requirements and developing innovative, effective solutions. For example, we have restructured the HRP, or the Human Reliability Program, reducing the number of positions to streamline operations. This effort is expected to save processing resources for over 2,000 people and a cost avoidance of $37 million. Big change. And this is also becoming a model for the enterprise. Also, I have approved a pilot to improve MCNA inventories that leverages a production monitoring framework to reduce inventory frequencies to once per year in the pit production areas. This will result in production operational gains of 6 weeks. Some of our efficiency efforts over the past few years have increased production from 19 to 33 weeks. Real significant change, and that sweet spot is about 40 weeks per year. Now, we improved and expanded access points to the plutonium facility, increasing volume and efficiency of throughput. This includes two new posts, resulting in a 200% improvement in maximum throughput. Also, a 60% reduction in peak period wait time is projected. Now, this is a big, big quality of work-life improvement, reduces wait times for employees. We're also implementing modern IT technology, such as installing a first-of-a-kind classified wireless technology in the plutonium facility, resulting in major work efficiencies. Also, we accelerated the process to put the new Vernado supercomputer on the classified network. We did it in 3 weeks working with our partners, advice 6 months, which is the normal time for doing that, and this accelerating AI use in the mission work. Administratively, there are several streamlining initiatives underway. We eliminated status meetings and to focus meeting time on action-oriented elements. We also eliminated specific federal approvals in many areas. And we have many more changes in the works to eliminate barriers. A big however, though, and I know it's been mentioned a few times, a key part of this collaboration is supporting these changes with the proper technical analysis to ensure that lab operations remain safe and secure. We can't get this wrong. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Ted, and all the panelists. You know, something that I really pulled out of there is the partnership and the communication between the site office managers and, of course, the MNOs. I mean, for us to go faster, that has to be rock solid because of your role in ensuring that we do things safely and securely and are abiding by the federal regulations, and then working with us on the ideas that we table and bring up to you. So again, to Michael's point, we've seen that work to great effect at Savannah River. We continue to look forward to that partnership. Moving on to our second question. Concerning attracting and retaining a qualified workforce, that workforce that we need to be able to ensure they communicate that we need to go fast. Describe the permanent contractor or federal initiatives that ensure the enterprise can deliver on its commitment in these challenging times. Betty, we'll go back to you first.
Okay. So for the federal workforce, we're rather fortunate from the perspective that there are a lot of really excellent programs that the department and NSA offer, particularly in the developmental area. I think one of the greatest challenges we'll have is that next generation of leaders. We have a lot of excellent programs to teach you how to do something very technical in the department, but that leadership and leadership skills and the desire to go into leadership is something a little bit different. And so for my field office, like many others, we do very much lean on what the department already provides through the NGFP, our graduate fellows program, and attracting that type of leadership and also getting them more exposed. Even if they don't come and work for the Nevada field office, they could go to an M&O contractor, they could go to headquarters, and we get really excellent talent. And quite frankly, they usually teach us a couple of things that we could be doing differently in our offices. There is also, I'm a big proponent of the mid-level leadership development program. I've had quite a few of my staff go through that. And it's been an excellent opportunity for them, not just to learn more about our complex, which they do, but to also then detail to other government organizations and to bring back some experiences. And so we look to highly leverage those, as well, of course, as you know, mentoring within the office. And we've looked more recently at really leveraging or better leveraging the expertise throughout the complex, whether it be from another field office, a functional office, a program office. You know, we are an enterprise, so there's no need for me in Nevada to try to figure out how to do everything all on my own. There's a lot of expertise out there, and really looking at how we leverage it. And then internal to our office, we've also looked at developmental opportunities by leveraging an IPT style oversight model where we can cross-train a lot of our individuals. So I think, you know, having an individual SME or multiple individual SMEs in a specific functional area is, that's in the past on how we have to do our business. It's not necessarily a luxury we have, and we need people to be very well-rounded for the type of oversight that we're doing, a more systems-level oversight. And so we're leveraging that team model significantly to grow our folks and to give them opportunities to see what other things they may be interested in. And then always tying back across our organization how each individual is actually supporting and executing the mission. That's been a pretty key part of making sure our folks get more program-level briefings on what we're doing and why we're doing it, and that's how they fit and why it's important. On the contractor side, I would just like to highlight something I think is also critically important, is we need the next generation of technical experts for a lot of things. And particularly in Nevada, it's, you know, the next generation experts in pulse power. We're going to be bringing on a state-of-the-art accelerator, and we need operators. And so the NSS has partnered with the University of Nevada, Reno. They have a program out there that's helping train that next generation. And then they've also looked at how to leverage higher education and other trades unions to develop some of the craft work we need as well. We've got a program that's helping us develop rapidly RCTs, which tend to be in high demand and never enough of them. So those are a couple of the key things that they're doing as well to make sure that we have the breadth of the workforce for the types of activities we're going to be expected to execute.
Thank you. And as Betty mentioned in her several remarks at the Savannah River site, Savannah River Nuclear Solutions, or SRNS, they have a number of programs that connect with universities and communities to bring talented, bright young men and women into the, to be the next generation of our workforce. And for the last 18 months or so since I became the field office manager, they've been working with the field office and headquarters to get the, to make sure that their incentives and retention, the pay, the retirement, the benefits, remain competitive, and while still with the federal part of it, making sure that we're being good stewards of the taxpayer dollars, but still ensuring that our contractor can be competitive because we need the next generation of workers. But I think what I'd like to share in terms of retention and attracting the workforce is the need to be competitive for the construction projects. SRPPF, new construction project, tritium finishing facility on the horizon. There's this non-proliferation mission in the K area that is about $1 billion project to deliver for keeping the material in the adversary's hands. There's an incredible amount of competing infrastructure and work in the state of South Carolina that is going to draw upon the same workforce that we need to draw upon for SRPPF. Let me just focus on PITS because that's where my attention is right now in delivering urgency. We're going to need electricians, carpenters, pipe fitters, iron workers. We're going to need planners, rad techs. We're going to need operators. We're going to need engineers and all of those to do the planning and to deliver SRPPF and those other facilities. But the state of South Carolina has billions of dollars of infrastructure projects like the Magnolia Landing project in Charleston and the Carolina Crossroads in Columbia. Commercial industry is expanding their capabilities in South Carolina. We've got Boeing and in a number of industries that are expanding their production capabilities, competing for those same types of laborers and operators and white-collar workers. The Governor's Nuclear Advisory Council has been urging industry to come back and look at VC Summer and restart those commercial reactors. And those will be competing directly with the type of workers that we need to attract to deliver pits and the national deterrence for the nation. So again, over that 18-month period, SRNS has reached out to us, and we've been working with headquarters to ensure that we can bring in the kind of incentives we're going to be competing, not just locally for talent, like the programs that SRNS has set up, not even regionally, southeast of South Carolina. We're going to be competing nationally for these types of resources. And if you go to the DEER clauses and the FAR clauses in the way the government sets up the contracting, we won't be competitive in finding those welders, the carpenters, the things that you need across the country to incentivize them to travel, unless we can offer rates that are competitive with compensation. I'm not talking salary, I'm talking travel, meals and residential, hotels, and things like that, that are commensurate with what commercial industry does. So as we bring commercial practices into building our facilities, you need to make sure that we're bringing those same commercial practices. And even if it requires exceptions or things to do with the contract, with the contracting mechanisms, we get them in place. And SRNS has been partnering with us for about the last 18 months to get a number of those things in place to position us for success.
Like many other entities within NNSA, we have seen at KCNSC a double increase in our workload and our workforce, and retention and attraction of talented employees has been a key focus for us in Kansas City. Specifically, as Mike just mentioned, in the manufacturing arena, locally in Kansas City, we partner with the local school districts to invest in science, technology, engineering, and math, and the plus end, that manufacturing component that is vitally important for us as a production agency. More specifically, KCNSC has partnered with the Grandview School District in Kansas City, which is about 4 miles from our site, to invest in their advanced manufacturing pathway program to revitalize their metal shop. The students have an opportunity to glean from the experience from KCNSC employees and to use new tools and equipment as well as software so that they understand what it means to operate and work in an advanced manufacturing environment. You will see tomorrow during the lunch time frame a video on how impactful that project and that partnership has been for the local Kansas City community. Within the Kansas City field office, we have similar activities that Betty mentioned. We have a cross-training component of our strategic vision on employee engagement. And what that means for the Kansas City field office is that whether you were hired in as a safety engineer or a quality assurance engineer, there is an opportunity to shadow each other's activities on a daily basis to understand what goes into an assessment activities, what goes into hands-on product inspection activities, so that you can bring those general business baseline processes back into your own functional area and find ways to do things faster and quicker. Another component that we have within the Kansas City field office to retain our talented employees is we implement lunch and learns as well as mission awareness activities internally and with the M&O partners so that we can glean an understanding of some of their fundamental processes that if you're in quality assurance, you may not have exposure to how business processes work at the M&O partners side of the house. So they have an opportunity to come and talk to us about that. And then we also have an opportunity to share some of our baseline business processes at the field office. And then lastly, an exciting part of our competition or excitement within the field office is we have a friendly continuous improvement competition among our functional areas. And this is exciting because it gives us two elements of retaining people. One, they get to do things that are fun. They get to compete against their peers on who can implement the largest volume of continuous improvements that are the most impactful. And then at the end of the competition, we give out a GOAT award, the GOAT award, the Greatest of All Time award. And so that's exciting for our employees, but it also gives us an opportunity to streamline processes where it doesn't seem like we're doing work. We're just in a friendly competition, but we're able to remove cycle times, reduce cycle times in the work that we do in our business. And in addition to that, we also partner with our M&O partner, Honeywell Federal Manufacturing and Technologies, on ways to help them do their business faster. If there's something that's being executed in the factory, we will have our folks partner with them on ways that we can stay with their requirements, but also have a tailored approach into doing business. And so those are some of the things that we do to retain folks at Kansas City Field Office and also to make it an enjoyable place to work in Kansas City.
Thank you, Shakita. We're obviously in stereo on this issue. Challenge across the enterprise. The workforce at Los Alamos is most critical in accomplishing our national security mission work, even more so than in the past decades. Triad and the Los Alamos Field Office have implemented several initiatives to ensure that we recruit and retain the best people to meet our mission objectives. We have committed employees who have been there a while, and we need to keep them. There's others in the development phase of their careers to whom we need to provide opportunities for growth. And then there are those who aren't with us yet. To them, we offer opportunity to work in one of the most exciting and challenging sites of the enterprise. And for both the federal and lab staff, the importance of our mission to national security is a motivator unto itself to attract and retain the best. At the federal workforce level, we are focused on ensuring that our staff has the tools and support that they need to perform to the best of their abilities and at the highest level. We have eliminated administrative functions and requirements that add no or little value to their work, and which may even slow and impede progress of the performance. This means empowering the staff by removing obstacles, which generates enthusiasm, and also leads to performance excellence. Streamlining our work also frees up our technical staff to pursue and maintain their technical qualifications needed to support and enable the critical mission work as well as our oversight. Additionally, we brought on administrative and technical and engineering contractor support to supplement gaps in our federal staffing. I've learned that also effective communication like the others is also a key motivator to high-performing staff and they enjoy coming to work every day. I believe we found a good balance in the mix of our communication forums, such as daily stand-up meetings for messaging and ensuring operational awareness. That's a big deal for our staff. As well as holding regular in-person, all-hands meetings to keep the staff informed and instill camaraderie. I'd like to talk a little bit about the employee recruitment programs that have proven valuable in recent years at the lab. And NSA has invested $18 million into the LANO's Plutonium Workforce Development Initiative to create a pipeline of skilled plutonium workers to meet the needs of our expanded mission work. This investment includes procuring equipment and offering student internships for high-demand workers, such as our rad control technicians and machinists. In fiscal year 25, LANO hired 46 radiological control technicians from its Northern New Mexico College program, and 15 machining graduates from the Santa Fe Community College. Other areas of investment include welding, wastewater operations, supply chain management, project management, and engineering. And we anticipate that the Plutonium Workforce Development Initiative, the student recruitment event this year, will result in 35 students interning at the laboratory this summer, as well as a LANO Days program allowed LANO employees to visit over 300 students. It's that outreach that really works. In collaboration with the other DOE sites, LANO staff actively engaged with other labs and facilities to learn about the workforce development activities and how they can be adapted to meet site-specific needs. There are a number of professional growth and development programs internal to the lab. Many of these programs could be applied relatively easily at other sites. And a common element in attracting and retaining employees is really empowering employees to do their jobs and to get to a higher performance level. For this, they're more likely to stay. Thank you.
Thanks, panel, for those very insightful answers. Moving on to our third and final question, we have about 10 minutes left, just for a time check. I'd ask you to describe other department initiatives that your site's involved with other sites or other agencies that are advancing the department's agenda, given that there's been a lot of the executive orders and such that have impacted the Department of Energy and the NSA. Betty, back with you.
Thank you. So the NSS has a long-standing history of working very closely with the Office of Environmental Management within the Department of Energy, and they have the responsibility for doing, you know, cleanup of legacy activities at the site, as well as groundwater monitoring. So we're very close collaboration with them. They also fund the Area 5 waste facility. And so it's a collaboration between NNSA and DOE as well, and that waste facility serves the entire department. And we have a long-standing history of working well with our neighbors. As many of you know, I'm sure the NNSS is surrounded by the Air Force and the NTTR, and there's a lot of collaborative initiatives just fundamentally on our support for them and them for us, as well as unique mission capabilities that the NNSS provides more broadly the Department of War. Specific to new executive orders, the NNSS is supporting executive orders related to nuclear energy and the reactor pilot program, particularly the National Criticality Experimental Research Center, which is a Los Alamos operated capability in collaboration with the NNSS, has been supporting private industry and various experiments to kind of proof of concept some of the reactor designs for advanced and small modular reactors. We had to move very quickly to support a couple of private industry partners, and it was a great collaboration to be able to do so, and I expect NSERC will be very busy for years to come in supporting those types of activities. So it's been a great asset that, you know, NSA with Los Alamos and the NSS have been able to provide in support of those executive orders.
Well, if delivering and supporting the DP and non-proliferation program of record isn't enough of a full-time challenge, we are supporting a couple of the other initiatives of the current administration. Last year, we put out a RFP for an energy project and associated data centers. This is in support of the administration's focus on advancing the American leadership in artificial intelligence. That RFP closed recently, and proposals are being assessed. We also have, you know, since the Savannah River site joined the NSA enterprise and became a NSA site, it also represents 310 square miles of secure area. There's no other preserve like this where secure, highly secure work can be performed in east of the Mississippi. A national treasure, if you will. There are no new missions in NSA that are deemed to come that aren't already there. SRPPF and Tritium Finishing Facility are challenging enough for me right now. I'm happy with that amount of work. But we're supporting the data center and energy project initiatives. And while it's not my mission to speak, I'll also note that the Office of Environmental Management operates a number of facilities at the site, such as H Canyon, that also can support the president's agenda in things like revitalizing the nuclear supply chain, promoting advanced nuclear reactors, and making HALEU, high assay low enriched uranium, available for nuclear deterrence in its facilities. But I'll leave EM to speak to. I know that the EM is working with the administration to make sure they understand the capabilities of the site, and EM has a mission there as well.
So one of the exciting things of being a part of a Kansas City production agency is our ability to make concepts a reality to translate those concepts into hardware that we need to develop and accelerate in rapidly iterative processes. So for example, at Kansas City, we are responding to not only ensuring that we have a safe, secure, and effective nuclear deterrent, but that we have a credible nuclear deterrent. We do that by partnering with design laboratories like Los Alamos National Laboratories, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories, as well as Sandia National Laboratories, to rapidly develop research and development ideas into tangible hardware. This allows us to determine if there's anything within the development and the deployment process that we need to modify so that we can go faster, like Mr. John Evans mentioned this morning. Our teams are working to rapidly deploy spaces, collaborative spaces, so that we can have our engineers from the design agencies and the production agencies hone in on what we really need to change and modify, whether it's requirements-based or whether it's process-based, manufacturing-based. What do we need to change as a team to make sure that we can rapidly deploy? So within KCNSC, we are always leaning forward with those ideas and changing those ideas into realities, those ideas into tangible assets that that we can measure, we can test, we can determine whether or not it will meet, or the asset will meet our capabilities. So we're excited to be a part of the nuclear securities enterprise and lean it forward in delivering those innovative solutions so that we can make sure that we can rapidly respond and continue to focus on maintaining a credible nuclear deterrent.
Great. Yeah, that's what makes us exciting, the collaboration between the plants, labs, and sites, all working together sort of as a team. We may be separated by geographically, but we're tied in, you know, by mission and doing innovative stuff. Specifically at Los Alamos, is involved in all aspects of the deterrent mission, working with all the sites, agencies, as well as private entities. You know, the lab leads and supports numerous national security initiatives underpinning our deterrence work. This includes the HALEU project that Mike was talking about, the development, the nuclear weapons science non-proliferation efforts, as well as nuclear deterrent. You know, some specific examples of the initiatives includes, you know, the partnership with NVIDIA on AI solutions, including the Nevada supercomputer to solve critical national security problems, as well as partnership with the University of Michigan on the AI data center. Additionally, critical experiments and HALEU fuel development research are being conducted in partnership with energy companies, as well as the Office of Nuclear Energy to advance nuclear reactor design. So, we're also working across a nuclear security enterprise advanced plutonium aging science and PIP production capabilities. And these are just a few examples that we're sort of all working, you know, as a real team. Back to you, Jim.
Well, thanks, panel. I really appreciate, again, the perspectives. A lot going on in the enterprise right now. Like Michael said, it seems to continue to come our way, and we need that workforce to be ready to go and meet the need and meet the challenges. So thank you so much for your leadership during this critical time in our nation's history. And I'd ask everyone to give them a round of applause, please. Thank you.